have many people that we need to be lifting up tonight. Father, we thank you for this brand new 2018. And we pray that this church called Calvary Chapel and those who share this place and call it their home, that Lord God, that we do everything that we do, we bring glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we live for you. We love you and we give you praise and honor, and we look forward to what you have for us in this new year. And Lord, with all that, we pray tonight for Erlina, Lord, who's back in the hospital and facing surgery, who's in, Lord, pain, as you already know. Just somehow, some way, the doctors, healer, body, Lord, or give the doctors wisdom to just do what is needed. And Lord, for Harley, we pray for him tonight, just helping him, Lord, bringing healing to his body. And Kathleen's mother, Lord, we pray over her now. She's in the hospital. Her heart is so weak. Her kidneys are failing. Just be with Kathleen. Be with Kathleen's mother. Bring comfort to them. And Lord, for Jeff Hoare, just who's been so ill with this junk, Lord, that's going around, just touching his body, bringing peace to him, and just perfect rest and healing, Lord. We're thankful that we can come to you for these things. And Lord, bless your word tonight that you've exalted above your very name. We love you. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. We're going to be back in 2 Kings tonight, believe it or not. We're going to be in chapter 18 and 19, a very important chapter that fits in perfectly, actually, with the first week of 2018. So remember the last time, and it seems like so long ago when we were in 2 Kings, remember that we watched the northern kingdom of Israel, which never had one good king. Remember, they were taken into captivity in chapter 17 by the Assyrians. It's so sad. They lost their home. They lost their land. They were scattered. They were deported, all because they lived in continuous sin and rebellion for 250 straight years. And so God said that is enough, and judgment came upon them. So on this first Wednesday, though, of 2018, the very first service of this year, this chapter, 18 and 19, is like a breath of fresh air, because we leave now all the kings of Israel, the northern kingdom, behind. And tonight we look at a king that is absolutely a man of God who loves the Lord with all of his heart. Matter of fact, as we turn to the southern kingdom tonight, Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, is one of the greatest kings in the Bible, next to King David. And he is a wonderful man. He loves the temple of God. He loves the people of God. And he loves the Lord with all of his heart. And so tonight, as we look at this, there are so many applications that we will make in our own lives concerning our new year that is in front of us. Let's begin tonight as we talk about trusting the Lord in 2 Kings 18:1. And now it came to pass in the third year of Hosea, the son of Elah, the king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, watch this now, according to all that his father David had done. Remember that David is the measuring stick for what righteousness is, and a man who is after God's own heart. But did you notice something different? That the mother was listed here in our text. Now that tells me something. We know that Ahaz, Hezekiah's dad, was so vile and so wicked. He certainly didn't train him in the things of God. So it had to be this godly woman, this godly mother that did those things for him. So under Hezekiah, revival is going to come. Look at verse 4 and look what he did now. And it says, and he, meaning King Hezekiah, he removed the what? The high places. And look what else he did. He broke the sacred pillars. He cut down the wooden image. He broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Nehushtan, or meaning just literally nothing, or a thing of brass. Now, Hezekiah did something. Before Hezekiah removed, Hezekiah first restored the temple, okay? He went in and all the destruction that his father, King Ahaz, has done, he's going to completely redo, if you will. Remember in 2 Chronicles, it says this in 29:3, in the first year of Hezekiah's reign, the very first year, and in the very first month, this is what he did, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Now listen, King Ahaz, his dad, remember he was the only king of Judah to worship Baal. He put his children through the fire. He set up pillars in all the orchards and under every green tree. He was a wicked and he was a vile man. He had no love for God. He had no love for the temple. He had no love for God's people, period. And so he went, remember, the last time we were together, he cut up all the furniture or the articles that were in the temple. He even nailed the door to the temple completely shut so the priest could not enter and so the people could not go in there to have any form of worship. And then he filled the temple of God with just idols all over the place. In other words, it was filled literally with trash. And so what did Hezekiah do? Man, he went in there, he got rid of the trash, he completely opened the doors back up, he restored everything, and then after that was done, his very first thing, this is what he did now in verse 4. He removed the high places, he broke the sacred pillars, we just read that, he cut down the wooden images, and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the children of Israel burned incense to it, or literally they worshiped it, okay, instead of worshiping God, and it called it Nehushtan. Now, a thing of brass. This speaks of the judgment of God during the wilderness wanderings with Moses there in the wilderness. It goes all the way back to Numbers 21, verse 9. Remember when the children of Israel had sinned, and so the serpents were going through the area, and they were biting all the people, and they were dying. And so God told Moses to make a serpent out of brass and put him up on a pole, and if they would look upon it, they would not die, they would be healed. And we know, of course, that is a type or a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. From John, I believe it's John 12, remember, where the Lord said, if he be lifted up, he would draw all men unto him. And so here, these idols and so forth. So as Hezekiah, man, he removed it all, which is a sign of deep repentance for himself and also for the nation. Isn't that a great way to start 2018? No, think about it. In other words, remove any high places in your own life. Anything that's maybe crept into your heart and it's above the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand? This is a brand new year. What a great thing to do is say, Bill, you know what? You're right. The Lord, I'm going to be just like Hezekiah. I'm going to get rid of all the trash, if there's any, in my life. And especially the serpent that was just mentioned, get rid of him. Amen? You don't want anything to do with that. You know, you can't change, I cannot change one event, one thing that happened to you or to me in 2017. I can't do it. I can't even change what others have done. Amen? But the fact of the matter is that we can't focus on 2017 any longer. It's gone. It'll never be back ever in our lives. And you know, the thing is that we need to remove, if there's anything in your life, loved one, that defeated you in 2017, secret sins, presumptuous sins, whatever, open sins, whatever it might be, I pray none of those things, but if so, put it to death. Get rid of it. Get it out of your life tonight. Start your new year the right way. Amen? On the very right foot. By grace, by the grace of God and the power of another, clean up your temple like Hezekiah cleaned up the temple on earth. We are the temple. Amen? Clean it up. Get rid of the things that are wrong. And you say, well, Bill, how in the world do we do that? Well, the first thing we do is do what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, where he writes and he says, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. That is a great scripture in the Bible. You know, Paul says, you know, you don't have to be a prisoner of anything except the prisoner of Jesus. Amen? I mean, what a wonderful thing is to be his bond slave. Who owns me? He does. Who rules your life? He does. Man, there's nothing greater than that. But the only way that we can cleanse the temple, the only way that we're going to be able to get rid of the things that have tormented us is that we have to walk worthy of our calling. And the word worthy there in the Greek is a picture of a set of scales that are perfectly balanced on each side. In other words, there's 5 pounds here, there's 5 pounds here, which makes it perfectly balanced. In other words, what Paul is saying is that if you're going to walk worthy, you have to be, number one, equal in doctrine and equal in practice. You have to be a hearer of God's word, but then also a doer of God's word. Amen? And when we do those things, we're not only having a worthy walk, we're fulfilling the calling that God has placed on our lives. And you are just as much called as Billy Graham was, still is. You're just as much called as any pastor, any evangelist, anyone. Amen? We are all ambassadors for Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, with all that being said, you know, there's one other thing that we need to do if we're going to remove the high places, if we're going to get things cleaned up in our life, if they need to be cleaned up. And this is very important because this is what Hezekiah did. Hold your place and just turn with me to Romans chapter 13. Just hold your place. Please don't lose your place, but turn with me as I turn there as well to Romans chapter 13. And I want you to look at a very familiar passage there in verse 11. Paul the Apostle has been talking about submitting to government and then on about loving one another and how it fulfills the law. And then he tells us to do something about and how to put on Christ. Now look at verse 11. Boy, if there's been a scripture that fits today, it's right here. Romans 13:11. And Paul writes and he says, "And do this, knowing the time that when? Now." That means right now, right this minute, not tomorrow, but tonight. Right now, it is high time. In other words, it's one of the most critical moments in your life. He says this, "To awake out of sleep." Now, you who've gone through Romans with me, you know that awake out of sleep here, it means a spiritual, it doesn't mean spiritual lethargy, lazy Christians. It means that you literally are unresponsive. You are out cold. You're inactive to any of the things of God. You're not serving. You're not involved. You're just, well, you're out cold. You're unconscious. He says, man, it's time to wake up. For why? Well, for now, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. In other words, our salvation, he's speaking of our glorification. In other words, we are expecting Jesus. He could come tonight. He could come tomorrow. Amen. And then, we're closer to any generation in the history of the return of the Lord, aren't we? He could come at any time. So it says, knowing the time, meaning a set season. And that set season, Paul says, is immediately now. It's right this moment for every Christian to wake up. J.B. Phillips put it this way in his translation. He says, it's time to wake up to reality. And now he tells us why. Verse 12, "For the night is far spent." In other words, it's nearly over. "The day is at hand. Therefore, let us" what? "Let us remove." You want to know how to get rid of the high places? Anything that exalts itself in your life, you know, or you're thinking above the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, "Remove the works of darkness and let us," that's all of us, "put on the armor of light," and we know that's the armor of Christ, "and let us walk properly as in the day." In other words, live like people of the light. We're the light of the world. He says, "not in revelry," in other words, wild parties and drunkenness, and not in lewdness and lust or strife or envy. He says, and here it comes, "but put on," clothe yourself literally, "with the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust." Now listen, verse 14 of what I just read is exactly what Hezekiah did. He went into the temple. He got rid of everything that was profane, everything that was against God, everything that was causing the people to sin. In other words, he was making sure there was no provision for the flesh. Amen? The word provision, loved one, listen, that's a very important word because it means to know ahead. It means to plan ahead. In other words, I'm a Christian and I'm going to plan ahead things that I'm going to be doing and I know they're displeasing to God. See, that's not what we do. Amen. No, we don't. We're not going to say, I'm laying this up because, well, it's a work of something in my flesh. My flesh is greedy. It wants, no. Don't make provision. Don't plan ahead. Get rid of it. Remove it. It's a nehushtan. Amen. That's why the word of God is so important. If you're going to plan for anything, don't plan in 2018 for the provision of the flesh. Plan for the provision of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. The Bible tells us in Galatians 5:16, a command and a promise. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, the Spirit is what conquers our sin. Amen. That's right. Now, turn back with me and let's go back to chapter 18 and look at verse 5. And this is a great verse. Look what Hezekiah did. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him, I love this, there was none like him among the kings of Judah, nor who were before him. In other words, there was no one before, there was never one after, as we're closing out of 2 Kings, of course, soon, like this man called King Hezekiah. Now listen, I know that believers make New Year's resolutions. And you've probably already broken every one of them, right? Isn't that right? Don't be religious tonight. I'm going to quit eating. Not eating everything, but listen, I had cobbler just a minute ago, and I don't eat sweets, but man, was it good. You know? And it's like I'm off the wagon, man. I mean, No, listen. We don't need to make New Year's resolutions. We don't need to make promises that we don't keep, okay? Now, if you do make them and you keep them, praise the Lord. It's okay. But if you want a New Year's resolution for 2018 and for the rest of your life until you go home to heaven, it's found right there in verse 5. And it is one thing. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord in everything that you do. Trust the Lord. The first thing you wake up in the morning, trust the Lord. The last thing you do when you go to bed at night, trust the Lord. All during the day, no matter what you're facing, you trust the Lord. Amen? Listen, no wonder the Bible, remember in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, what does it say? It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. All of your heart. Don't let anything crowd God out. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, not some of it, but all of it, and lean not unto your own understanding. Say, Lord, I don't understand it all, but I know you do. And it says, and acknowledge him. Lord, I acknowledge you. I come before you, for you're my Father in heaven. Acknowledge him in all, not some, not a few, but everything, in all of your ways. And what did it say he will do? He will, here's the promise for 2018, he will direct your paths. As you've heard me say, surely over the last 25 years, you've heard me say in that word direct in Hebrew, man, don't ever define it, okay? Because in Hebrew, it means to make prosperous, the word direct, make prosperous, make smooth, make level. But you see, make prosperous is God's definition. Let him define that for you. In other words, he may be directing your path way up the hill, and you're going, hey, this is supposed to be level. It is level, Bill. Get on up. Get up there. I'm directing your paths. You've acknowledged me. Now let me handle it. Amen? It may not be what you call smooth. It may not be what you call prosperous, but God says, oh, no, it is level for you. You are prospering because you acknowledged me. You're trusting me. God will get you to the exact place that he needs you to go. Listen, trust the Lord in good times. Trust the Lord in bad times. Trust the Lord all the time. Amen. You know, the Bible says this about trusting God. In Nahum 1:7, it says, oh, the Lord is good. Isn't he good? He's always good. Everything he does is good. And it says, he is a stronghold in the day of trouble. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you really believe that? No, I'm not meaning up here. Do you, not a theological fact. I've got that. Well, Lord is a stronghold in the day of trouble. Do you believe it? Do you really believe it? No matter what you see, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through in your life, the hurt is real. Pain is real. emotions are real. Sometimes they can become strained to the point of where you want to give up. God says, listen. He says, I'm a stronghold for you in the day of trouble. And then God says something else in that verse. He says, and he knows those who trust in him. I want us to be known as those who trust in God. We don't lean again upon our own understanding. No, no, we acknowledge you, Lord. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 28, 26, it says, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Isn't that a word from God? Is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. Listen to me. If you don't want to sleep well at night, okay, if you enjoy turning over in the bed and you know, waking up off and on, trust yourself. You hear me? Just how am I going to handle this? How am I going to do this? You don't know. Listen, God says, you trust me. I'll handle it for you. You know, he's the one who never sleeps or slumbers. You can go ahead and go to sleep. He's awake. He can handle it. He's up all night, all right? You can go right to sleep. Oh, that's what God wants to do. And then look now at verse 6. I love this. For Hezekiah, look what he did. He held fast to the Lord. And Hezekiah did not depart from following him, but kept God's commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. You know that word held fast? You know what it means? It literally means he did not cease to follow. He continued. I mean, every day he followed the Lord. What a word, man, for 2018. In other words, Hezekiah had ceaseless trust in God no matter what he was facing, no matter what the circumstances might have been. No, he just says, you know what? I trust you. What a word for us for 2018. Walking in ceaseless trust as we follow the Lord. And say, Lord, no matter what, no matter what it is, we trust you. You know, we can trust Jesus with everything, can't we? He loves you. He died for you. He's coming for you. He's praying for you. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. You know, the Bible says in James 1, 8, that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You just go, you're a yo-yo Christian, back and forth. God doesn't want that, and you don't want that. It says that Hezekiah kept the commandments. In other words, ceaseless trust in the word of God. Boy, what a thing for us. The Bible tells us in Psalm 119, 105, it says that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Jesus said in John 8, 12, what did he say? I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus said in John 14, 15, he said this. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Boy, that's what we need to do. 2018 is going to be a year like you will not believe. Sunday is going to be a special day. It's going to be a special day for this church when the New Year's message is given, the Lord willing. Now, look at verse 7. And the Lord was with Hezekiah. And I thank God he's with us right now. And when God is with you, look what happens. And he prospered wherever he went. Why? He was trusting the Lord, ceaseless trust. And it says, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria, didn't even serve him. In other words, he refused to pay tribute or taxes to this ungodly pagan. And he subdued the Philistines as far as Gaza and its territory, from watchtower to fortified city. So, under Hezekiah, and only under Hezekiah now, man, Judah, the southern kingdom, is finally a military power once again. It won't last forever, but at least it's once again that is happening. Now, verses 9 through 12 are simply a review of what we learned in chapter 17 when the northern kingdom goes off into Assyrian captivity when they're deported. So look at verse 13. 14 years now pass, okay? It says, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, and bear with me, I'm going to do a lot of reading, and then I'm going to make many applications, okay? It says in verse 13 again, after these 14 years passed, King Hezekiah and Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them. Then Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria at Lachish, saying, hey, I've done wrong. In other words, I was wrong, we'll learn, to ally with Egypt and so forth against him. Now, he says, I've done wrong. Turn away from me, and whatever you impose on me, I will pay. And the king of Syria assessed Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver, or literally 11 tons of silver. Wouldn't you like that to fall into your lap tonight? And it says, and 30 talents of gold, that's 1 ton of gold. And so Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and the treasuries of the king's house. And at that time, Hezekiah stripped the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord, from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid, and gave it to the king of Syria. Now, anytime you trust the Lord, do you think that the devil is going to raise up a standard against you? Yes, and any time you step out and say, you know, it's a brand new year or whatever, or I'm going to serve the Lord and I'm going to do this, I'm going to have my prayer time, whatever. Listen, there's going to be, any time you trust the Lord for anything, your trust will be challenged. That's exactly what's getting ready to happen to King Hezekiah. Look at verse 17. Then the king of Assyria sent the Tartan, now that would be the general, and he sent also the Rabsaces, that's the chief eunuch, and Rabshakeh. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right or not, but Kevin thinks so. Is that all right? Now, and that's the chief cupbearer. And they were all from Lachish. And also, look what else came. A great army came against Jerusalem to King Hezekiah. And they went up. They came to Jerusalem. And when they'd come up, they went and they stood at the aqueduct by the upper pool, which was by the highway, the fuller's field. And when they had called to the king, Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, came out to them. And then Rabshakeh said to them, say now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this in which you trust? There's that word again. You speak of having plans and power for war, but they're mere words. In whom do you trust that you rebel against me? Now look, you are trusting in the staff of this broken reed, Egypt, if a man leans, he will go into his hand and pierce it. In other words, he had allied with Egypt. And he says here, he says, so it is that Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to all who trust in him, but if you say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altar Hezekiah has taken away and said to Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem? Now listen, these guys from Assyria had no clue to what Hezekiah did. Hezekiah is now turned the people from idols to the living God. Amen? And so they're confused. They don't understand exactly. They think that when Hezekiah removed all the idols that they lost their gods. Now look at verse 23, another lengthy reading. Just bear with me. And now, therefore, I urge you, give a pledge to my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give you 2,000 horses if you're able on your part to put the riders on them. Now listen, this is an insult, okay? This is trash talk. He's saying, you know, that is, here's the 2,000 horses, but I doubt if you have anyone skilled, a skilled warrior, or anyone who could even mount upon one of them. How then will you repel one captain of the least of my master's servants and put your trust in Egypt for chariots and horsemen? Have I now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and Shebna and Joah said to Rabshakeh, he says, please speak to your servants in Aramaic, for we understand it, and do not speak to us in Hebrew in the hearing of the people who are on the wall. But Rabshakeh said to them, has my master sent me to your master and to you to speak these words and not to the men who sit on the wall, who will eat, and watch this now, who will eat and drink their own waste with you? See, this is just dirty, filthy trash talk. You understand? Now, Then Rabshakeh stood and called out with a loud voice. And he, look what he did now. He spoke in Hebrew and spoke saying, hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you. Now he's speaking now to all the people of Judah, okay, the people that are on the wall. He says, oh man, don't let your king deceive you, for he'll not be able to deliver you from his hand, nor let Hezekiah make you, here it comes, that word again, trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be given to the hand of the king of Syria. Do not listen to Hezekiah, and thus saith the king of Assyria, make peace with me by a present, and come out to me, every one of you. You can come and eat from your own vine, every one from his own fig tree, and every one of you drink the waters of your own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain, new wine and bread and vineyards and olive groves and honey, that you may live and not die. But do not listen to Hezekiah, lest he persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Now listen, lengthy reading, but the word of God is the word of God. Amen. Loved one, listen, this guy is feeding the children of Israel or Judah here, you know, just a bunch of propaganda, if you will. And I'll tell you what, that's what the world sends us every day, is a bunch of propaganda and a bunch of lies. It says, don't trust in God. Listen, this world is passing. This world is passing quickly. I'll tell you something. The greatest thing that we can do is trust the Lord God with all of our heart. Amen? And anytime you do, again, your faith is going to be challenged, just like Hezekiah is challenged as well. In other words, so this guy from Assyria, hey, God can't help you. No, nothing's going to help you, and God's certainly not going to deliver you. And look what he says in verse 33. Has any of the gods of the nations at all delivered its hand from the land from the hand of the king of Syria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? And where are the gods of Shepharvaim and Hena and Iva? I'd hate to have to tell him, but they don't exist. Amen. That's where they are. They never existed anyway. Indeed, have they delivered Samaria from my hand? Who among all the gods of the lands have delivered their countries from my hand? The Lord should deliver Jerusalem from them. In other words, boys, you don't have a chance. All these false gods, he didn't say that, but they are false gods. All these gods that was protecting all these nations, every nation has fallen to the king of Syria. So the best thing you can do right now is just surrender, because you're not going to stop us at all. We're going to take you. Now, verse 36, but the people held their peace, meaning the children of Judah, and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was, do not answer him. And then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, came to Hezekiah with their clothes torn, and they told him the words of Rabshakeah. And then in chapter 19, it so it was when King Hezekiah heard these words, that he what? He tore his clothes. That's deep, deep distress, loved one. He covered himself with sackcloth, and he fell to pieces because he didn't know what to do. No, look what he did. He went into the house of the Lord. You are going, I am going to have and face problems in 2018. Jesus promised us that we would have tribulation in this world, amen? But he said, be of good cheer, I've overcome this world, and we've overcome this world because we're in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, there are things that are already waiting for you, believe me. And you say, Bill, you're so negative. No, I don't wear rose-colored glasses. Do you? No, I mean, I see every day what's going on. Listen, loved one, listen to me. I get, don't, Bill, stop, don't say that. You know what hurts pastors and hurts just me? Is people, especially believers, it seems like, they waste so much time in their lives arguing, backbiting, or gossiping, whatever that might be, or hurting one another. Listen, we don't have time for that in our lives. That is a waste of time. I just can't forgive that person. Why? You know what they've done to me. God does. And God says, forgive them. Not with the emotion of forgiveness, but out of obedience. Amen? It doesn't mean that God is say, deny your pain, be stoic, you know, keep the upper lip or whatever you call it, the chin up, you know? No, listen, God understands. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I'll repay. Let me handle it. Let me handle your problems. Let me handle your hurts. You don't need to argue with your family. You don't need to argue with loved ones. You don't need to have fight, knock down, drag outs in your home. That is, get rid of that kind of junk. Amen? Life is short. It is short. And Christians waste so much time. You know, last night I had a business meeting with the financial director for the church there at the bank. In other words, overlooking the finances and so forth. And he also does insurance and all this stuff. And we were sitting there going over certain issues. It was cut short because he had someone came to his home and said, there's a lady that really needs to talk to you. And he says, oh, Mrs. So-and-so. Anyways, a wonderful Christian brother. So I shook his hand. I said, hey, love you, man. I'll get with you later. And I left and I noticed the lady that was getting ready to come into his office. She was sitting over there about maybe 28 years old, just a beautiful woman, blonde hair and all that. So I walked by and got home and that was the evening. And then all of a sudden I got a phone call from the bank. And the man's name is Joseph, and he said, Bill, he said, listen, he said, the woman that came into my office after you left, I said, yeah, says she's pregnant. She just finished her degree. Her husband, herself with the pregnancy, and her mother, and their dog left Fort Worth to go to El Paso last week. I just met with them. I just signed a policy on insurance for their family to protect them in the event of death or whatnot. And said they roll the car on the freeway. Her mother died, her husband died, and the only one left was her and the baby. And she said, Bill, he said, Joseph said to me, he said, Bill, she ran at him off and said, and told me, and then said, what am I going to do now? He says, man, he said, Bill, life is so short. And I said, listen, Joseph, God had you there at the right moment, at the right time, because he knows the Lord. He's a good man and ministered to her. Do you understand? Life is short. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's not time for that kind of nonsense to where there's that bickering and all of that stuff. Christians should be bigger than that. Amen. Those are things that need to be removed. Bill, are you beating me? You're putting me under the law. I'm teaching the word of God. We're to love one another. Amen. Oh, listen, that's so important. And you know, that's what he did here. You know, he didn't surrender, you know, but look what he did. He was in this deep distress. He didn't fall to pieces. And you know what he did? We need to follow Hezekiah's example in 2018. He didn't go to experts. He didn't go to some new method. He didn't go to the professionals. He went to God. God knows everything you ask for before you ever ask for it. Amen? He knows all the things that you need. Listen, God is the expert on anything that you're facing, whatever it might be. And that's exactly what Hezekiah did. He didn't fall apart. He went into the house of the Lord to seek the Lord. And then in verse 2, it says, and he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and the elders, the priests, and they covered themselves with sackcloth. And here comes Isaiah the prophet. Now he's entering in, the son of Amoz. And he says, and they said to him, thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy, for the children have come from birth, but there's no strength for them to come forth. It may be that the Lord your God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to reproach the living God and rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. And so the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said to them, thus you shall say to your master, meaning King Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord. What are those three words, four words? Do not what? Don't be afraid. What a word for us in 2018. Don't be afraid. He says, don't be afraid of the words which you've heard with the servants of the kings of Assyria. They've blasphemed me. Surely I will send a spirit upon him. He shall hear a rumor, return to his own land, and I'll cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Listen, let this church called Calvary Chapel and the people who belong here, let us not be afraid of anything. Amen? Nothing. The only thing we have to fear is God. And once we fear God, there's nothing left to fear. Amen? And that's exactly what we need to do. And the Lord will take care of your enemies. You don't have to fight your enemies. Did you not hear what happened to Steve and Carol and the mission team? There they come back from Mexico. The cartel pulls them over. Steve's driving. They come and they have AK-47s. Their wife, I haven't heard the whole story yet, so I'm not exaggerating. And they come out and they stop him and they look and said, who are you? And he goes, I'm Chavez. They immediately backed up. They knew there was something about this Rambo. You understand? That's another story, but I can't go into all the details. The Lord says the cartel really did stop them. Yeah. The Lord says, don't worry about your enemies. That's what he told Hezekiah. He said, I'm going to take care of them. He's not going to take Jerusalem. He's going to die. Now listen, so the king of Assyria's entourage, that team, they return. They tell the king of Assyria all the news, and then king of Assyria sends the messengers back with the letter and so forth to King Hezekiah. Go down to verse 10 quickly. Thus you shall speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Syria. Again, your trust will always, and God will always be challenged by someone. Go to verse 14. Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers, read it. Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord, and what did he do? He spread it before the Lord, the letter. Then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God and you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. You've made heaven, you've made earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, hear, open your eyes, O Lord, see, hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the king of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God and you alone. Then Isaiah the prophet sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, because you have what? Prayed. Loved one, you have not because you ask not. Boy, prayer. He says, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, I have heard. Now, I'm not going to cover verse 21 through 34, which is the prophecy from Isaiah. In other words, God's word to King Hezekiah. But let me say this. The greatest thing that you can do in 2018, this is not a New Year's resolution, it's wisdom and a command, is that you have an altar at your home, meaning a prayer closet, where you go in whatever time of day you choose to pray. Early morning prayer is usually the best, and that's what the Bible normally says. Pray. Have a prayer time. You know, Sunday morning, the day that the ice came through and we didn't have our services, it was so weird. I was praying and there wasn't a, normally there's a burden to pray over the service. But I was going, Lord, what's wrong? Is the sermon the one I'm preaching? Is this not right? Have I done something wrong? I feel pretty good about everything, man. You know, so I have another cup of coffee and just, praise the Lord. But what that was saying was, Bill, we're not going to have a service, but I had no clue. Do you understand? Because there wasn't the draw on me. as it would be on anyone who was going to enter the pulpit. Does that make sense? But prayer, loved one, listen, prayer is the work. You've heard me say that so often. It is the work. And don't neglect it. Please don't do that. See, Hezekiah, did Hezekiah fight the battle that he was facing? No, he fought the battle he was facing in prayer. He went to the Lord. And that's what we're to do. God answered Hezekiah's prayer. Go down to verse 35. And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out, killed the camp of the Assyrians. Did you catch that? And look how many he killed. 185,000. And when the people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses all dead. Now, the people who arose in the morning, that wasn't the Assyrians, okay? No, they were dead. This was the people of Judah. Now, listen. Trusting in God, going to God in prayer is what brought this victory. And then verse 36 quickly. So Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, departed, went away, returned home, remained at Nineveh. And it came to pass as he was worshiping in the temple of Nisroch, his god. That's the great eagle, if you will, part eagle and human, you know, whatever it is. And it says, and his sons, these two right here, Crummy and Dummy, look what they did. They struck him down with the sword, and they escaped to the land of Ararat. And then Ir-shaddon, his son, reigned in his place. So listen, the king of Assyria, just like Isaiah the prophet said from the word of God, he's going to die. He's not going to make it. He was murdered by his own children, man, his own sons. His own gods that he believed in, that he was praying to, didn't even protect him because they're false gods. Now listen, the wisest thing, the surest thing that you can do in 2018 is trust the Lord. Trust him. You know, the Bible says in Romans 14:23, I believe it is, it says, so whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You can't please God without faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Faith is what pleases the Lord, trusting what he says. Loved one, listen. Right now, in any other year that we step into, you know, Hebrews 12, what does it say? In Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, it tells us, the writer of Hebrews says, there also we're surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, speaking about those in the hall of fame of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. It says, let us lay aside, that word means remove the high places, okay? Let us lay aside or remove every weight. Every burden, get it off of you. And then it tells us to do something. It says, let us remove every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us or trips us up. And let us, plural, all of us, run with endurance the race that is set before us. We are continuing the race of faith in 2018, amen? We will do that until the Lord Jesus comes and takes us home. Listen, when it tells us to remove the sin, get rid of it, it's talking about a particular sin, not just any sin. And you know what that sin is. That sin is the sin of unbelief, not trusting God. Boy, unbelief, let it not reign anywhere in your heart, in your mind. Get rid of it completely. And if you don't, you will never run this race that is set before you, which is a pre-appointed race that God has given you. You'll never run it with endurance. Unbelief steals endurance. Do you understand? Yeah. And the only way we can run this race of faith is by keeping our focus correct. That's why it says looking, it continues there in Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus, gazing at him, keeping your eyes only on him, not your circumstance, not your problem, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the shame of the cross and sat down at the right hand of majesty of God upon high. Amen. Listen, meaning he died for us. He took our place. Our sins are forgiven. Listen, we have a race to run. And one more thing before I close. I know it's time to go, but listen to me. This is the very first service of the year. 2017 was a very hard year for Rebecca and me. Very difficult indeed, and for many reasons, sickness and other things. things that can hurt your heart. Listen to me. The Bible, Paul tells us something in Philippians 3:13. He says this, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, and it's good for all of us." Here it comes. "Forgetting those things which are behind, I'm leaving 2017 where it belongs." It says, leaving those things, forgetting those things which are behind. And here it comes. "And reaching forward," or it literally means to stretch yourself like an athlete, strain every nerve, if you will, "and reaching forth to those things which are ahead." That's 2018. Listen, join me. Let's leave 2017 where it belongs. And let's now move into 2018. If you've had hurts and disappointments and heartaches, don't carry the baggage. Don't do it. Let it just stay back there. Let this be a brand new beginning, a brand new year for each and every one of us. Don't allow what happened in 2017, meaning your past, to control your future 2018. Does that make sense? Leave it all back there. Dwelling on your past, dwelling on your hurt, you know what it does? It just exhausts you. It just wears you out. It grieves the Spirit of God. Amen? Listen, we're therefore a new creation in Christ Jesus. Remember, behold, old things have passed away. All things become new. If you don't let go of 2017, maybe it was a divorce. I pray it wasn't. Maybe it was a separation in the family. Whatever it could be, whatever it might have been, could have been or should have been, let it go. Let it go so you can live. Let it go so you can leave it behind and look at 2018 with clear focus and a clear vision and a clean heart and clean mind. Amen? Remove those things because they can become a high place in your life. Get rid of the trash. Throw it out, just like you do the garbage, man. Say, it's over with. Now, you can't change anything that you did, and I can't either, in 2017. We cannot erase our mistakes. We can't erase our words if we hurt people with them. Or bless people with them. But there's one thing that we can do. We can take those things to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, moving into 2018 saying, you know what? I'm not making provision for the flesh. I'm not planning ahead for any activity of the flesh. Now, I'm just going to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. As each and every one of us, Lord, those that are here and those that are listening live, we just bring all of our trash to you right now. We bring all of our high places. If we have them, Lord, we bring them to you. We bring those presumptuous sins, those secret sins. We bring everything to you, the author, the finisher of our faith. And we lay them before you like King Hezekiah put the letter and spread it out before you. Lord, here we are. We spread our heart out before you. We spread it all out, Lord. You know what's happened to us. You know what's happened in our families. You know everything that happened in 2017. You know the sicknesses, the hurts we endured, the unbelief, and whatever it might be that we exalted above you. We just come now to you, to the throne of grace, just like King Hezekiah. And we spread out our hearts before you, Lord. Create in us tonight a clean heart, oh God. May all that we do in 2018 be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Wash us thoroughly from any iniquity, transgression, or sin. Bless your people. Touch them. Refresh them. Open the windows of heaven in this place called Calvary Chapel. In Jesus' name, we give you thanks and glory forever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's stand.